Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, October 1st. Texas lawmakers, farmers, and ranchers sound alarm over languishing farm bill. Federal lawmakers are sounding the alarm on the economic catastrophe that could happen if a new farm bill isn't passed by the end of this year, now that the 2018 version has officially expired. Since it was introduced by the House Committee on Agriculture in May, there has been no progress on passing the wide-ranging, multi-year law. It has not been discussed on the House floor or in the Senate. In a letter to House Republican leadership signed by 140 members of Congress, lawmakers said if they wait until the next year to enact an effective farm bill, the impacts will be felt nationwide. The negative impacts of failing to act will not just stop at the farm gate, the letter warns, but will Main Street businesses, rural communities, and the national economy. The Farm Food and National Security Act, also known as the Farm Bill, is considered a must-pass package of federal legislation that is typically reauthorized every 5 years. The last Farm Bill was passed in 2018 and was supposed to be renewed in 2023 until lawmakers extended the deadline to today, September 30th. In the letter, the lawmakers say inflation and low market prices have squeezed farmers and ranchers. The money producers are making from their crops is not enough to cover the cost of growing it for the entire country. The result is an estimated $34 billion loss in crop cash receipts, which is expected to cause the sharpest two-year decline in net cash income in U.S. history. U.S. representatives Jody Arrington, Ronnie Jackson, and Dan Crenshaw, all Republicans, are among the Texas lawmakers who signed the letter. U.S. Representative Jasmine Crockett, a Democrat who represents parts of North Texas, did not sign the letter. In a statement to the Tribune, Crockett said Democrats are aware the bill is vital. However, she stressed the need for open negotiations to get the bill passed. We need to negotiate a bipartisan bill, Crockett said, and leadership needs to put it on the House floor so producers across the country can finally breathe a sigh of relief. In Texas, the bill supports more than 330,000 farms and ranches that can be found in nearly every corner of the state, from sprawling pastures in the northern panhandle to loam-covered rice fields in East Texas. According to a 2024 Feeding the Economy report, an economic impact study organized by food and agriculture groups, the state's food and agriculture sectors contribute about $860.8 billion in economic activity and employ more than 4.5 million people. The bill also helps provide more than 3.4 million low-income Texas families receiving benefits from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, according to Every Texan, a nonprofit advocacy organization that analyzes public policy and its impact on Texas residents. The Farm Bill sets policies for many agricultural programs, such as federal crop insurance and loans for farmers. It also has loosely related programs for rural development and nutrition, including the Emergency Food Assistance Program and SNAP. Food programs in the bill may account for nearly 80% of the Farm Bill spending. The bill itself is estimated to be worth at least $1.5 trillion. The SNAP program, or food stamps, is a sore spot for certain Republican lawmakers. While the bill is historically a bipartisan effort, biting along party lines about funding the program has derailed progress. In the version advanced by the U.S. House Agriculture Committee, led by Representative Glenn Thompson, a Pennsylvania Republican, SNAP would get about a $30 billion cut. That's a non-starter for many Democrats. Laramie Adams, Associate Government Affairs Director for Texas Farm Bureau, said in a pressing matter, after January 1, 2025, the law reverts to statutes approved in 1938 and 1949 that don't expire and are temporarily suspended with the passing of each new farm bill. Adams thinks the reason for this is to keep the pressure on lawmakers to pass a new bill in a timely manner. With no agreement in sight and the clock ticking, Adams said, farm organizations are not entertaining another extension. Instead, there's the push to pass it before the end of the year, as well as disaster economic assistance to get farmers and ranchers through 2025. This comes as a particularly rough year for agriculture in Texas, as wildfires, droughts, and flooding have squashed hopes for a fruitful year. According to a letter signed by the American Farm Bureau, even if a new bill is enacted this year, the benefits will not be realized until 2026. We need our members of Congress and leadership in Congress to recognize there's no room for delay anymore, Adams said. It's time to actually work together to get something done. While the current law has technically expired, the programs under it are still covered through the end of the year. Cody Besant, CEO for Plains Cotton Growers, which represents cotton producers in the Texas South Plains, said this is why there's a strong push to get a new bill passed this year. An extension would keep old policies in place, Besant said. Since the last bill passed, the economy has changed from the COVID-19 pandemic, inflation and climate disasters, among other issues. These programs are not sophisticated enough now to help producers, Besant said, based on where the cost of production and market prices are at today. For cotton growers, the cash crop in the South Plains is in better shape than it has been in recent drought-ridden years. Still, Besant said production will be down because of two consecutive weeks of 100-degree days and little rainfall. Agricultural producers could have benefited from the passage of a farm bill in 2023, its original deadline. That would have provided much-needed cash flow assistance to producers, Besant said, especially right now when we are seeing systematic price declines and higher input costs. The first agricultural sector that would be affected if the proposed legislation doesn't pass is the dairy industry. Dairy programs in the bill expire before commodity programs. However, Darren Turley, executive director of the Texas Association of Dairymen, is trying to focus on what the dairy industry stands to gain if the current version is passed. This includes an increase to the dairy margin coverage program, essentially insurance for dairy producers. We do have some issues over the timeline, Turley said. It's not as bad as other commodities. Adams with the Texas Farm Bureau said there are still concerns as agricultural producers are having difficulty getting financing from lenders and banks to start work in the new year, as the uncertainty with the bill affects that too. He's hopeful lawmakers can pass a bill by the end of the year. This article originally appeared in the Texas Tribune. Chamber welcomes Leadership Odessa Class of 2024-25. The 47th Class of Leadership Odessa will commence on Tuesday, October 1st, with a welcome reception from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, 700 North Grant, Suite 200. This incoming class has a total of 51 participants from all segments of Odessa businesses and nonprofit organizations that were selected to be a part of this long-standing program. The participants make an 8-month commitment to the program to develop leadership skills and learn about the community firsthand through monthly sessions. The Odessa Chamber is ready and excited to welcome these new Leadership Odessa participants. This program is one of the longest running in the state, with more than 1,550 graduates having completed the course since its inception in the late 1970s. These participants are about to be immersed in Odessa's history and inner workings, and they will walk away in May 2025, knowing far more about our community than they ever imagined possible. Renee Earls, President CEO of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said in a news release, "Plus, and most importantly, they will gain lifelong friendships as strangers and will become confidants," she added. The welcome reception will serve as an opportunity for Leadership Odessa participants to network and meet one another before heading to Prude Ranch on Friday, October 4th for the annual retreat. Incoming Chamber Board Chairman Shem Culpepper will address the incoming class and congratulate them on being selected. The members of the 2024-2025 Leadership Odessa class are Sarah Aguilar, Catholic Charities, Teresa Armendariz, Odessa Regional Medical Center, Megan Baeza, UT Permian Basin, Cece Baldwin, Permian Basin Mission Center, Kaylee Burnett, LCA, Morgan Gillette, Young Professionals of Odessa, Carla Clemens, Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center, Kevin Collins, Salisbury Industries Incorporated, Kay Collis, CASA of the Permian Basin, Courtney Davis, Medical Center Health System, Marion Davis, Southside Veterans of Foreign War Post 6717, Spencer Denton, Chevron, Jessica Dominguez, Ector County ISD, Jody Duran, CASA of the Permian Basin, Isabel Arrives, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, Angel Garcia, BAM Entrepreneurial Center, Jesus Galvadon, Standard Sales Company, Bailey Gonzalez, Boys and Girls Club of Odessa, Tara Graves, American Cancer Society, Evan Green, Whitley Penn, Shannon Gregg, Complex Community, Federal Credit Union, Yvette Griffin, City of Odessa, Jerry Hernandez, Market Street, Alyssa Hinojos, Odessa College, Tyler Houchin, Odessa Fire Rescue, Karina Johnson, Young Professionals of Odessa, Auric Carias, OSIM Enterprises Incorporated, Lucas Lemons, Frost Bank, Lena Lerma, Medical Center Health System, Lisa Macy, Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, Oscar Menchaca, Odessa Fire Rescue, Lisa Mickle, Ector County ISD, Brittany Molinar, Ector County ISD, April Morales, Meals on Wheels, Becky Morales, Woodhouse Spa, Crystal Marino, United Way of Odessa, Steve Moss, First Methodist Church, Andrew Murray, Pinkies Incorporated, Hannah Nagos, Southwest Heritage Credit Union, Randy Nguyen, Ector County ISD, Carla Pride, Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Christina Pugh, Heritage Real Estate, Oscar Romo, Odessa Links Incorporated, Eric Rubio, Blue Crest Financial Alliance, Diana Salazar, Permian Basin Rehab Center, Dahlia Salinas, City of Odessa, Elias Sanchez, Standard Sales Company, Elizabeth Shaughnessy, City of Odessa, Stephanie Vega, First Basin Credit Union, Christine Wagner, Odessa Regional Medical Center, Efren Zuniga, Ector County ISD. The Leadership Odessa year begins in October and runs through May, with members meeting once a month for briefings and sessions. Program participants will grow in awareness and understanding of the challenges and issues facing our community. They will also develop valuable contacts and communication networks within the community. Most importantly, Leadership Odessa builds confidence and motivation to become actively involved in promoting positive change in Odessa. Employers and sponsoring organizations will see increased leadership and problem-solving skills in their employees. Leadership Odessa allows doors to be open for greater corporate, organizational, community involvement and visibility, and helps identify where strategic alliances might be formed. Bernal accused of bad behavior manipulating bid process. One of Odessa Utilities Director Kevin Niles' last act before leaving for Kansas was to send an email that so concerned City Manager John Beckmeyer, he launched an internal investigation. The investigation did not reveal any improprieties, but Beckmeyer was urged to have a talk with Assistant City Manager Gopi Bernal about his demeanor and to make changes to the committee that reviews requests for qualifications. Bernal was named interim city manager following the firing of City Manager Michael Marrero. Both Marrero and former city attorney Natasha Brooks were ousted in 2022. Their firings led to numerous resignations and retirements of city employees and department heads. Niles, who was hired in July 2023, gave Bernal 8 days' notice on August 15th, but Bernal cut him loose the following day. In his resignation letter, Niles said he wanted to pursue other opportunities that align more closely with my personal and professional goals, but according to emails obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act, there was much more to it than that. Niles sent an email to Beckmeyer 3 days later saying he had struggled with whether he should say anything about Bernal, but he ultimately decided Beckmeyer needed to know what is going on in Odessa. Mr. Bernal is not a leader. Mr. Bernal is a bully. He is a terrible communicator. He lacks leadership skills, and his ability to motivate his staff is minimal at best. Sir, I could no longer in good conscience consider to let his unethical behavior go without saying something. Niles accused Bernal of keeping things from Beckmeyer and prohibiting staff from approaching him. He accused him of disrespecting staff and being unprofessional. I have been in the working world for over 35 years and I've worked for many managers. However, I've never worked for such a poor leader as Mr. Bernal. I also know that this is not the first time you've been notified of Mr. Bernal's poor management and unethical behavior. I'm sure it won't be the last. An open records request for complaints or disciplinary actions regarding Bernal had negative results. Niles also alleged that Performance Services Incorporated was given an unfair advantage when bidding on a contract for wastewater treatment plant improvements. Niles wrote, "I also want to let you know that the entire process with PSI was orchestrated and manipulated by Mr. Bernal. He had multiple private meetings with him and continued to let me know that PSI was the direction we would be going. He was completely aware of everything and made sure they won the RFQ. The director told Beckmeyer the majority of his decision to leave was based on Bernal. Sir, Mr. Bernal is a cancer on your organization, and it's only going to spread. People don't leave bad jobs, people leave bad management," Niles wrote. Beckmeyer shared the email with City Attorney Dan Jones, stating the allegations about the RFQ process concerned him. Jones called the allegations very disturbing and suggested Calla Hardy, the city's internal auditor, investigate. He further said that if there were any improprieties, the city should withdraw the award to PSI in an open meeting and explain the reason. "I am concerned about limiting the liability of the City of Odessa. I would encourage you to advise City Council immediately of this matter," Jones wrote on August 20th. On August 28th, Hardy submitted a 2-page memo detailing her investigation, which included speaking with Niles and 3 other city employees who either evaluated the RFQs or were otherwise involved. Alex Rolette, interim utilities director, Michael Barra, Purchasing Manager, and Marissa Rodriguez, Director of Purchasing. Hardy noted in her report that Bernal attended the evaluation process, although he wasn't a committee member. Besides Niles, none of them felt intimidated or influenced by Bernal, and also they felt PSI offered the quickest timeline. Rowlett said PSI may have had an unfair advantage in that they'd done prior work on the plant and had an established relationship with management. According to Hardy, Niles mentioned a rumor about a relationship between Mayor Javier Hoven, Agapito Bernal, and PSI employees. Niles noted that while there is no proof, he is aware of informal meetings and private conversations between Mayor Hoven, Agapito Bernal, and PSI employees based on information shared by Agapito Bernal. Niles said he felt pressured to select PSI and that the pressure exerted was less about the explicit content of Mr. Bernal's statements, but more about the tone and body language used in conveying those statements. In summing up her report, Hardy said the evaluation process was both fair and legal. However, she said in the future, non-committee members should not attend the evaluation meetings, and the city manager should be informed of any vendor meetings that are attended by other city managers. She also wrote, although only Mr. Niles reported feeling pressure from Mr. Bernal, he strongly feels he was influenced by Mr. Bernal's position as his direct supervisor. It is recommended that Mr. Bernal be made aware of the impact his words and actions had on Mr. Niles to prevent similar situations in the future. Nominations now open for MISD Gifted Programming. The nomination process for Midland ISD Student Placement in Gifted and Talented GT services from kindergarten through grade 12, including Carver Center, is now open. Parent referral forms are open to students currently in grades K through 11 and can be submitted throughout the month of October. All public, private, charter, and homeschool students residing in the MISD attendance area are invited to apply. The form can be accessed on the MISD GT and Advanced Academics webpage through October 31st. Late forms will not be accepted, so be sure to apply this month. To further assist parents in understanding the process and the benefits of GT programs, MISD will offer information sessions throughout October, parent awareness sessions. Meetings will be held at Midland ISD Central Office, located at 615 West Missouri Avenue, October 1st, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., October 8th, 11:30 a.m. through 12:30 p.m., October 9th, 5:30 p.m. through 6:30 p.m., October 18th, 11:30 a.m. through 12:30 p.m., October 22nd, 11:30 a.m. through 12:30 p.m., October 22nd, 5:30 p.m. through 6:30 p.m. Every nominated student will be screened to determine their eligibility for placement in GT programming. More information regarding the GT testing schedule will be sent in November. Results of the assessments will be distributed in late February for elementary and early March for secondary, ensuring transparency and timely communications with families. For additional information or any inquiries related to the GT nomination process, families should reach out via email at gifted@midlandisd.net. MC hosts special lecture celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Midland College will host a special Hispanic Heritage Month lecture with Dr. Jose Angel Hernandez at 6 p.m. today, September 30th. That's just not going to work. Celebrate the start of fall at October's first Friday ODTX. Get ready for spooky season with October's First Friday ODTX from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, October 4th. This month's event features a free screening of the Amazon video docuseries, The Story of Art in America, highlighting local Odessa and Alpine artists. Plus, check out the Chalk Art Gallery at Sacrificial Needle. Celebrate the start of fall by jumping into Odessa's vibrant art scene, making it the perfect night out for family and friends. The Story of America of Art in America screening. Join us at the Ector Theater for a free screening of The Story of Art in America during First Friday ODTX. This captivating docuseries on Amazon Video explores the impact of art in American society. This showing will feature the Alpine and Odessa episodes, followed by a panel discussion with the artists featured in the series. The discussion will be led by Odessa Art Executive Director Randy Hamm, offering unique insights into the world of art in West Texas. Odessa Marriott Hotel Room Discount for the Story of Art in America screening. Attendees of the Story of Art in America screening can enjoy a special discounted room rate in the Odessa Marriott Hotel. Book your room before the offer closes on October 1st using the following link: https://bit.ly/Marriott Discount 10424. Stay close to the action on First Friday ODTX by staying at the Marriott, making almost all stops within walking distance. Odessa Arts booth giveaways at the Ector Theater. Spend $20 or more at the local shop, restaurant, or vendor during the event hours and show your receipt at the Odessa Arts and Downtown Odessa booth at the Ector Theater to receive a free orange t-shirt. Fill out a survey to receive a free deck of Basin 52 cards. Pick up free First Friday ODTX coloring sheets designed by local artist Sarah Scotch. Scroll. Odessa Arts Membership Drive Launch. Odessa Arts will launch their 2024-25 season membership drive. Members who sign up during First Friday ODTX will get a free clear tote bag. Chalk Gallery at Sacrificial Needle. Step into the Chalk Gallery at Sacrificial Needle during First Friday ODTX and witness local artists turn the pavement into stunning works of art. Aspiring artists, this one's for you too. There's a special section where you can unleash your creativity and leave your own chalk masterpiece. Vendor Markets, 4th and Jackson. A bustling vendor market featuring a variety of local vendors, Three Pearls Specialty Treats, OU, 812 Custom Cakes and Cupcakes, General Via Jerky, Pucker Up Lemonades, Muda's, Sam's Club, Clamato's, Los Gachos, Sunny Skulls, Daisy's Kitchen, Skull and Cross Beans Mobile Brew, Love One Another Soaps, Be Sweet Beauty, Bathhouse Apothecary, Arcane Jewelry, Anna James Brewing Company, Sweet Traveler Pasateri, West Texas Candy, and more. Copper Rose Market, 415 North Grant Avenue. Local vendor market with more than 15 vendors offering unique goods. Sacrificial Needle, 1500 North Grant Avenue. Local vendor market, live art demonstrations and specials on tattoos and piercings. Also, explore the Chalk Gallery and witness local artists turning the pavement into works of art. The Downtown Venue, 515 North Grant Avenue. Two Purple Llamas Market will host a vendor market featuring 10-plus local businesses. Participating businesses, Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue. The Craft Shop, choose from over 100 cup wraps and more than 10 different cups to choose from. Cost to participate. Copper Key Gifts, 501 North Grant Avenue, open for extended hours. Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street. Visit the library from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. for a Halloween slime craft. Flair Taverna, 2701 John Ben Shepherd Parkway. Live music from Brother Z. Homemade wines, 400 North Texas Avenue, Homemade Wines is hosting a sip and paint party. Participants pay $50 and supplies are included. Food and beverages are available for purchase. Joanne's on 5th Street, 610 West 5th South. DIY floral arrangements cost to participate. M. Elemental Therapeutics, 419 North Jackson Avenue. Five free 5-minute massages and free samples of pumpkin and vanilla hand scrubs. Marriott Odessa, 305 East 5th Street. Masa Bakery, 519 Jefferson Avenue. XLER is hosting a free 45-minute art class. Participants will also receive free pain dulce and drinks. While supplies last, sign up in advance here. https://bit.ly/freeartclassoctffodtx. McJack General Store, 411 North Grant Avenue, decorate a pumpkin craft. Odessa Arts, the Ector Theater, membership table with exciting giveaways. Odessa College Green Space, corner of East 4th Street and North Jackson, Hocus Pocus free movie screening. Patrick Clay's Tavern, 418 North Grant, food and drink specials and $30 tattoos at Evil Ink Tattoos. Scooter's Coffee, 801 North Grant Avenue, half off any drink with coupon. Coupon posted on Odessa Arts Facebook page on October 4th. Skillicky Ballet, 118 East 8th Street, free 30-minute ballet class from 6 to 6:30. Starbucks Downtown, 305 East 5th Street, free typewriter poetry by Candace Harding. And Torchy Tacos, 306 East 5th Street, caricature artists. Pfluger leads bipartisan CIMA Act to crack down on illicit analogs. Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, led a bipartisan group of colleagues in introducing the Stop Importation and Manufacturing of Synthetic Analogs, CIMA Act. The legislation targets deadly drugs that are substantially similar to already controlled substances, but carefully engineered, often in China or Mexico, to slip into the U.S. undetected. Congressman Pfluger was joined by Representatives Jimmy Panetta, California 19, Russell Fry, South Carolina 07, and Don Davis, North Carolina 01. The legislation has been introduced in the Senate by Senators Chuck Grassley, Republican, Iowa, and Maggie Hassan, Democrat, North New Hampshire. Drug traffickers are constantly exploiting loopholes in our laws by creating drugs that mimic the effect of controlled substances, but are not yet classified as illegal to evade regulation. The CIMA Act will give law enforcement the tools they need to stay ahead of these criminals and protect our communities from these emerging drug threats by enhancing the DEA's ability to respond to these new substances quickly. We are taking a critical step in combating the opioid crisis and other drug-related harms, Pfluger said in a news release. The federal government needs to be more nimble when it comes to effectively responding to the surge of new synthetic drugs on our streets, said Panetta. By creating a new Schedule A, we can better target substances designed to evade existing bans and hold drug traffickers accountable. The federal government should take this step and provide this type of tool to help our local law enforcement continue to keep our communities safe. U.S. law prohibits the unauthorized use of certain controlled substances. However, illicit drug makers and importers circumvent those laws by altering single atoms in controlled substances to create tweak drugs that are not yet outlawed, but have similar effects on users. Currently, uncontrolled substances must undergo a time-consuming analysis before the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, can permanently schedule them. The CIMA Act allows DEA to assign substances as Schedule A as if, one, Their chemical structure is substantially similar to a controlled substance, and 2, they are expected to have the same or greater effect on the human body. The bill subjects individuals who manufacture, export, and import these uncontrolled substances to the criminal penalties associated with Schedule A. It also includes provisions to ensure legitimate research on substances added to Schedule A can continue. SEMA gives law enforcement the tools they need to keep up with drug cartels and emerging drug threats. Abbott launches Texas Stock Exchange. Governor Greg Abbott on Monday celebrated the Texas Stock Exchange, TSXE, and the state's historic economic milestones during a press conference at the governor's mansion in Austin. Texas has become the home of capital in the United States, said Abbott. Today, our great state is staking claim as a home of capital markets with the addition of the Texas Stock Exchange. This is another step that expands our financial might in the United States and cements our economic power on the global stage. The Texas Stock Exchange will ensure that businesses have access to capital and that market participants have more choices. Texas is the modern embodiment of the American dream, where everyone has an opportunity to succeed, and the Texas Stock Exchange will ensure even more businesses have that opportunity. The governor was joined at the press conference by TSXE Group Incorporated founder and CEO James Lee, former U.S. Secretary of Energy Rick Perry, Senator Tan Parker, Representative Giovanni Capriglione, Representative Morgan Meyer, and other businesses and community leaders. Upcoming VA Medication Take Back Day events. The West Texas VA Healthcare System has announced upcoming Medication Take Back Day events. In alignment with the Dispose Unused Medications and Prescription Dump Opioids Act, these events offer a vital public service to provide all individuals, not just veterans, the opportunity to safely dispose of controlled substance prescription medications at designated VA facilities. Scheduled for October 25th and 26th, the Medication Take Back Day events will take place from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the following locations: Wilson & Young Medal of Honor Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, Odessa, October 25th. Colonel Charles and Joanne Powell VA Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, San Angelo, October 25th. Abilene VA Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, October 25th. Hobbs VA Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, October 25th. George H. O'Brien Jr. VA Medical Center, Big Spring, October 26th. These events are crucial in combating the ongoing crisis of opioid misuse and overdose by providing a safe and responsible way to dispose of medications that are no longer needed. Unused medications can lead to accidental ingestion or misuse, so proper disposal is key to ensuring community safety. We encourage everyone to take advantage of these medication take-back days. Adolph Ramos, VTVAHCS, Chief of Police, said in a news release, "This initiative not only helps safeguard the community, but also promotes awareness about the proper disposal of prescription medications." For more information or inquiries, contact West Texas VA Healthcare System Public Affairs at 432-263-7361, extension 7022. Ex-husband confesses to stabbing wife's new beau. An Odessa father and son are facing charges after a 29-year-old man was stabbed Friday night. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a 911 call around 10:20 p.m. Friday about a stabbing victim at Odessa Regional Medical Center. When officers arrived, the stabbing victim said he had driven his 37-year-old girlfriend to her apartment on Oakwood Drive to speak with her 13-year-old son, and as he waited in his vehicle, a man opened his door and punched him repeatedly as another man threw his cell phone. After leaving with his girlfriend, he felt some wetness on his back and realized he'd been stabbed, the report stated. The girlfriend told officers she saw her former husband, Jesus Vallez, 40, and her son, Emmanuel Vallez, 19, assaulting her boyfriend, jumped into the vehicle and told her boyfriend to leave, the report stated. At 3:30 a.m. Saturday, both Jesus and Emmanuel Vallez came into the police department and made statements about after being read their Miranda rights. According to the report, Jesus Vallez said he went to his former wife's boyfriend's vehicle to scare him with a knife because his 13-year-old son had complained to him about the loudness of his mother and her boyfriend's lovemaking. When he got to the vehicle, Jesus Vallez said he saw Emmanuel and the other man fighting and he stabbed the other man because he thought he was reaching under a seat for a gun, the report stated. Jesus Vallez was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault causing serious bodily injury. He was released from the Ector County Jail Monday after posting a $25,000 surety bond. Emmanuel Vallez was arrested on suspicion of tampering, fabricating evidence, and was released Monday after posting a $10,000 surety bond. Odessan accused of assaulting OPD officer. A 39-year-old Odessa man accused of putting an Odessa police officer in a chokehold last week was arrested Saturday on multiple misdemeanor and felony charges. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a 911 call around 1:30 p.m. Thursday about a man with a knife who was behaving erratically, screaming, and kissing the ground in the 1300 block of Colorado. When officers arrived, Eugenio Feliciano approached one of the officers and said he'd been in an argument earlier, and he pulled out a razor, the report stated. The officer noted in his report Feliciano was intoxicated as he had slurred speech and was swaying. When officers went to place Feliciano under arrest, he resisted and they took him to the ground. According to the report, Feliciano wrapped his arm around one officer's neck and put him into a chokehold which impeded his ability to breathe. Officers were able to handcuff Feliciano and put him into a police car, but he kicked the passenger side door so hard he caused several hundred dollars worth of damage. Feliciano was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault against a public servant, public intoxication, resisting arrest, and criminal mischief. He was booked into the Ector County Jail and is being held on surety bonds totaling $79,000.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times for October 1st, 2024. Midland to host Chalk the Block event at Centennial Park on October 26th by Kim Della Pena, September 30th, 2024. The City of Midland is hosting its inaugural Chalk the Block event on October 26th. The event at Centennial Park will take place from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Children and adults are invited to create vibrant chalk art on the sidewalks of downtown Midland, according to Stephanie Delgado, Economic Development Program Manager for the City of Midland. Chalk the Block is a family-friendly event to bring the community together through creativity and artistic expression. Attendees can participate in or observe live chalk art competitions. They can also enjoy activities at various booths, including by the Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland and entertainment throughout the day. This is the perfect chance for local artists and enthusiasts to showcase their talent and connect with others in the Midland community, said Delgado. Midland Times, City of Midland, Diamondback Energy, and ConocoPhillips are sponsors of the event. The City of Midland still has spots available for artists, vendors, and more. Call Stephanie Delgado at 432-685-7320 for more information. Find this story for blind and low vision adults 3 p.m. daily at the Recording Library of West Texas Radio at www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. MPD mourns loss of fallen DPS trooper. by Midland Times, September 30th, 2024. The Midland Police Department, MPD, joined the Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, in mourning the loss of Kevin Ramirez Vasquez, a highway patrolman. According to MPD, the 25-year-old was struck by a vehicle on September 17th while investigating a crash along State Highway 302 in adjacent Ector County. He succumbed to his injuries on September 28th. MPD extended its thoughts and prayers to the late law enforcement officer's family, friends, and the entire Texas DPS community in a September 30th Facebook post. DPS Director Stephen McCraw said in a September 29th press release that Ramirez Vasquez served this state honorably to his very last breath. According to the release, Ramirez Vasquez joined DPS in 2023 after serving in the U.S. Army and the National Guard. He is the 241st DPS officer to die in the line of duty since 1823. Ramirez Vasquez leaves behind his parents and three siblings. DPS posted on Facebook that the trooper will be escorted home to Harris County on October 1st. He will be flown to Houston Executive Airport and then transported to Brookside Funeral Home, with the procession commencing around 1:45 p.m. Funeral arrangements are pending. Love Midland to host community volunteer kickoff event by Kim De La Pena, September 30th, 2024. Love Midland, a nonprofit launched in 2023, is set to increase volunteer participation in Midland by connecting residents with local nonprofits, city projects, schools, and more. The organization will host a kickoff event on October 12th at Astound Stadium to bring the community together for a day of service and fun, according to Katie Summers, executive director of Love Midland. The event will start at 8 a.m. with free breakfast for everyone who attends, thanks to partnerships with Chick-fil-A, Wall Street, Rosa's, and Taco Villa. Activities will include jumpers and mini golf for kids and axe throwing for older attendees. Participants will also get to learn more about local nonprofits and agencies and browse vendor booths. At 9:45 a.m., guest speakers Dr. Stephanie Howard and Mayor Lori Blong will address the crowd before volunteers head out to their designated projects at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., according to Summers. Volunteers range from skilled handymen to just lending a helping hand. There are projects for everyone at every level, said Sarah Marston, Love Midland Board of Directors. Volunteers will take part in repairing, upgrading, organizing clothing, and making well-wish cards, among other tasks, for 38 local organizations, including Thriving Midland, Midland Fire Department, Safe Place, and various local schools, according to Marston. Can you imagine what Midland can do if we all work together and volunteer 2 hours of time? Said Summers. Growing the next generation of volunteers in Midland is vital to our community. Event sponsors include Frost Bank, Contango Resources, Southwest Royalties, Triple T Fence, Jones Brothers Dirt and Paving, and others. This is the first large-scale volunteer event for Love Midland, but the organization plans to expand its reach in the future to continue fostering a culture of service in Midland. For more information or to sign up as a volunteer, visit lovemidland.org or email admin@lovemidland.org. Pink the Basin to host annual luncheon for breast cancer awareness by Alexandra Huerta, September 30th, 2024. Pink the Basin will host its annual luncheon on October 1st to coincide with National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Doors will open at 11 a.m. at the Odessa Downtown Marriott Hotel Convention Center. The fundraising event will include guest speaker Diana Jordan, a 14-year breast cancer survivor. The luncheon will feature a style show and raffle, according to the press release. Pink the Basin is a nonprofit that raises awareness about breast cancer and funds diagnostic services, including mammograms for women in the Permian Basin, according to Carolina Keith, executive director of Pink the Basin. The organization's mission is to ensure access to breast cancer screenings for all women and men. The organization partners with local hospitals to provide these services to uninsured or underinsured individuals. Breast cancer is a health issue in the United States for both men and women. Annually, about 297,790 women are diagnosed with breast cancer, and around 43,700 women die from the disease. Approximately 2,800 men are diagnosed with breast cancer each year in the U.S., with around 530 deaths. Pink the Basin in 2023 also assisted 11 men through its services. According to Keith, early detection through screenings helps reduce mortality, she said. Pink the Basin was incorporated in 2012, and the group plans to donate $665,000 to six hospitals in the region for breast cancer screening services. For more information or to make a donation, call 432-557-3301 or email ckeith@pinkthebasin.com or visit pinkthebasin.com. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud. Rangers Chevron presents checks to five West Texas nonprofits at Globe Life Field, September 30th, 2024, by staff report. Representatives of five organizations serving youth in the Permian Basin left Globe Life Field in Arlington with the Giant W on September 21st. As we recently reported, the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation recently teamed up with Chevron on an annual community grant program to support organizations serving young people in Midland and Odessa. In the inaugural grant application process, five nonprofits were chosen to receive a share of $50,000 in grants. Casa de Amigos, First Tee West Texas, Midland Junior Baseball, Society of Petroleum Engineers, Permian Basin Section, and Young Women's Leadership Academy of Midland. At the Rangers-Mariners game at Globe Life Field on September 21st, representatives of the five winning organizations were honored during a pregame check presentation. The nonprofits will use the funds to provide a variety of youth programming, including STEM, STEAM, education, and to support athletics programs. Chevron representatives Jonathan Harshman and Valerie Acosta were present to honor the inaugural grant winners. They congratulated the winners and expressed gratitude to the Rangers Foundation for the partnership and also to their Chevron colleagues who reached out to local organizations to encourage them to apply for a grant. Find this story and audio for blind and low vision adults at 3 p.m. daily at the Recording Library of West Texas Radio at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream. Over 6K attend 3rd Annual Cavern City Renaissance Festival, September 30th, 2024, by staff report. The 3rd Annual Cavern City Renaissance Festival was deemed not just a success, but downright incredible by organizers. "We have nothing but appreciation in our mind right now," they said. Over 6,000 people attended this year, which ran from Friday, September 27th, and Saturday, September 28th, at Lake Carlsbad Beach Park. That's a considerable increase from the nearly 4,000 that attended the inaugural festival. There were also about 80 vendors this year, up to 53 in the first year, and they expressed record weekend sales from the latest festival. Many attendees traveled from far and wide. "We have never seen such enthusiastic crowds and generous patrons," organizers said. Check out more photos and updates from this year's festival on the Cavern City Renaissance Festival Facebook page. Find this story for blind and low vision adults at 3 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream. Native astronaut rockets into Carlsbad Hall of Fame, September 27, 2024, by Kathy Chateau. Carlsbad native and one-time astronaut Dr. Drew Gaffney is being inducted into the Carlsbad Hall of Fame Friday, October 11th at 11 a.m. Dr. Gaffney is being honored due to his extensive contributions to the Life Sciences Division at NASA headquarters. The ceremony is taking place at the Carlsbad Museum, which is a free admission. The soon-to-be inductee graduated from Carlsbad High School, received a BA degree from the University of California at Berkeley, and an MD from the University of Mexico, according to the New Mexico Museum of Space History. He earned a fellowship in cardiology at the University of Texas's Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, also serving as a faculty associate and assistant professor of medicine there. From 1970 to 1987, Dr. Gaffney was the assistant director of echocardiography at Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas. Dr. Gaffney joined NASA's Life Sciences Division in 1987 as a visiting senior scientist working in various capacities, including as a program scientist for the D2 Space Lab mission and on a number of Space Station Freedom and Advanced Mission Planning groups, notably the Humans to Mars Study Group. He went on to fly aboard STS-40 Columbia Space Lab Life Sciences SLS-1 in June 1991, which was the first Space Lab mission dedicated to biomedical studies, according to the museum. Dr. Gaffney spent more than 218 hours in space aboard STS-40. Currently, Dr. Gaffney is a professor of medicine, cardiovascular disease at Vanderbilt University and serves as a consultant reviewer for human spaceflight-related studies. According to NASA, his achievements include over more than 100 publications in the areas of cardiovascular regulation, space physiology, and patient safety, cited NASA, as well as numerous professional accolades. The Carlsbad Museum is located at 418 West Fox Street in Carlsbad. Midland ranks 12th out of 500 best barbecue cities in America, September 26, 2024, by staff report. Out of 500 U.S. cities, Midland ranked 12th on LawnStarter.com's 2024 best barbecue cities in America, which the city of Midland lauded this week. Kansas City, Memphis, and Houston ranked among the top three, with Austin ranking 7th and San Antonio 8th. In total, 46 of the 500 cities are in Texas, with Lubbock coming in 45th, Odessa in 111th, and Abilene and San Angelo coming in 173rd and 178th, respectively. The rankings this year were expanded to 500 cities and are based upon categories such as access, consumer satisfaction, elite barbecue memberships, competition, awards, and hosting. According to LawnStarter.com, Midland ranked 3rd in competition award rankings, 9th in elite barbecue rankings, 32nd for hosting, 160th for access, and 222nd for consumer satisfaction. Other Texas cities in the rankings include Dallas, 21, Fort Worth, 34, Cedar Park, 66, Temple, 72, New Braunfels, 86, El Paso, 90, Waco, 98, Amarillo, 101, Arlington, 110, Corpus Christi, 120, Round Rock, 120, Laredo, 123, Georgetown, 124, Pearland, 128, Garland, 134, Plano. Other Texas cities in the rankings include Dallas, 21, Fort Worth, 34, Cedar Park, 66, Temple, 72, New Braunfels, 86, El Paso, 90, Waco, 98, Amarillo, 101, Arlington, 110, Corpus Christi, 120, Round Rock, 120, Laredo, 123, Georgetown, 124, Pearland, 128, Garland, 134, Plano, 139, Longview, 141, Allen, 164, Frisco, 165, Brownsville, 179, College Station, 180, McKinney, 186, Denton, 203, Farr, 216, Bryan, 226, Wichita Falls, 252, Louisville, 261, Mission, 276, Pasadena, 280, Killeen, 282, Grand Prairie, 332, League City, 334, Flower Mound, 338, Carrollton, 345, McAllen, 350, Baytown, 356, Mansfield, 363, Beaumont, 376, Mesquite, 392, Edinburgh, 417, and Irving, 453. Plant-based meat production ingenuity comes to Hobbs, September 26, 2024, by staff report. Plant-based meats might soon compete in both price and quality with traditional meats thanks to new technology unveiled at a state-of-the-art plant in Hobbs. On Wednesday, September 25th, Seattle-based Rebellious Foods, which makes plant-based products that compete with traditional chicken products, unveiled its Mach 2 production system, a continuous automated processor that can produce a wide range of plant-based meat products at volumes of 2,500 to 5,000 pounds per hour on a single processing line. The technology is operating out of the facility on Grime Street, run by RMS Foods, maker of Boca plant-based products. Christy Legale, founder and CEO of Rebellious Foods, said the Mach 2 production system ushers in the future of food. "We've been on a mission to engineer and deploy a system that efficiently and affordably crafts our high-quality, restaurant-style, plant-based chicken nuggets, tenders, and patties," Legale said. "Partnering with RMS Foods allows us to fulfill this mission, catalyzing a path for sustainable protein production that is poised to reshape global eating habits." Hobbs Mayor Sam Cobb, also president at RMS Foods, said the collaboration positions the region at the forefront of food tech innovation. "We're advancing manufacturing capabilities and creating high-skilled jobs and driving economic growth in our community," Hop said. RMS Foods, Inc. specializes in producing plant-based meat products. The company, with over 25 years in operation, transitioned from traditional meat production to focus on plant-based alternatives.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.